Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our anchored series looking at the book of Ephesians, and I am joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Amaroa.
Hey,
Jose,
Taylor.
Welcome back to the podcast. And we're joined by worship pastor Joel Hernandez. Joel, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Always fun to be here.
Joel, I get to give you the first word.
Yes,
this is fun.
It's true.
You did a great job on Sunday. And I know I've asked you this before, but just your thoughts overall on the whole series. I'd love to hear just kind of just this concept of being anchored in the book of Ephesians, and then also just what God kind of taught you as you were leading up to the passage that was next in the book.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this anchored series has been so, so good, right? We start with that verse in Hebrews where it says that we are anchored in Jesus, really. We have this hope that's in Jesus, and so we're anchored, and Jose's done a great job leading us through all of these different points. And what's cool about this passage in Ephesians is it really all does tie together, and I felt that as I was preparing for my message. His message last week on personal responsibility tied directly into what we were talking about this time, and even the one prior where it talked about purpose, where, man, so many different things, that Jesus is the head and then the body works together. And now this week it was cool and it was so, so practical. So God taught me a lot this week because it's just like, man, he just
rapid fire.
Exactly. Lots of points to go through, but such a cool thing. And it was this idea of putting off the old self and putting on the new. And if we're doing that, then this is kind of the result of that, all of these things that we're going to look at today.
I really like, Joel, that you landed on purity I mean, your illustration of fire and how these rings that we wear are purified by fire, and that's what makes them precious. And similarly, it is these lists. I mean, anger, speaking truthfully, giving instead of stealing, building others up, being kind and compassionate instead of harboring envy and bitterness. These are things that purify us, because if we're honest, we all lean towards the opposite. That's our flesh. And so going back and recognize, no, I'm made new in Christ. The opposite of that purifies us. So I love that you hit that as the umbrella of what you said.
Yeah. I'd love to start by just asking kind of a question that you tagged on at the very end, which was just simply, how do we do this? Because again, a lot of this is practical. We can get in the weeds on each of these five different kind of aspects of purity that you mentioned. But also just, you said, how do we do this? We do this by being anchored in Jesus. And I know that's the whole theme and the whole series that we're going with, but I'd love to just kind of unpack that a little bit more just as we start. What does that look like, and how does this relate just practically into these five things? Because I think some people listening, they go, yeah, I need to work on that. Yep, I need to work on that too. And you just kind of go through, but this can quickly become kind of a self-help or self-will. Like, I'm just going to try harder this week. I'm going to try to do this more. What difference does it make, or what's so significant about being anchored in Jesus that then allows us to do these five things?
Yeah, I think when we lean into like lists or any kind of thing, then we're just going through a checklist and we're saying, oh, I just don't need to do this. But
I got three out of the five, so I'm doing okay.
There you go. Exactly. But it's when we have reasons, and I talked about that too, like when we have a reason behind and when we're actually abiding with Jesus, and it's kind of a self-answering question, but I think it's so, so true. Those things come out in me so much easier when I recognize, man, when's the last time that I've been in the Word, you know, all of those things, and like, oh, maybe today have I spent time with the Lord, and I feel this anger, I feel this stuff coming up in me. So I really think it's the simple answer, but it's the true answer. We've got to be abiding with the Lord, I think.
Yeah, and Paul repeats this. This isn't the first time that he says, put off the old, take off the new. Mm-hmm. And I do think that the key in this, in these verses, is verse 32. At the end, he says, forgiving each other, here we go, just as in Christ God forgave you. So if we lose sight of that, then it does become self-help. It does become this list of, hey, I need to do more good than bad. But if we do all of this, as you quoted Romans 12, in view of God's mercy, then we can talk about specifics. How do we speak the truth? How do we these? But none of this is possible in our own strength. We have to do this because of what Jesus has already done for us.
It reminded me a lot of what we looked at this summer in the one and others of Scripture and just looking at different contexts here. But I'd love if we can try to get in the brain of Paul, I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on kind of why you think he included it here. It's not the first time he mentioned this, but just in this whole series, again, we're looking at posture, position, people, purpose, personal responsibility. So why do y'all think that he added this in here and kind of emphasized it so much in this part?
I really like the tie-in between symphonizing and each playing a part of God's body. You know, the earlier parts of Ephesians 4, we'll get to relationships again in Ephesians 5. So this is almost like, hey, let's remember, you need to take responsibility for your actions.
Yeah.
Like your actions have consequences. And so let's take, because it's easy for me, and I think it's easy for us as a culture to point the finger and say, well, they deserve this, or I'm doing this because this was done unto me. And here Paul is pausing and saying, no, remember who you are, act out of that reality, and then watch the church flourish and future forward in Ephesians 5 and 6. Watch your relationships flourish.
That's right.
So this is, you know, it starts with me before other people.
Yeah, I think I pointed this out, and you have too, in this series, Jose. It's addressing the church. And so I talked a lot about unity and how I think Paul's desire for the church, he knew if we're going to do this correctly, or really God speaking through Paul, if we're going to do this correctly, we have to be on the same page. We have to be unified because we're called to be set apart. And so we're called to look different than the culture that we live in, the world that we live in, that really gives us the opposite. And so I think that was one of the reasons, is to solidify the church as from then until where we are today, we have to continue to be unified.
So much of the summer, a lot of the conversation around the one another's was, okay, we can, sitting in church, we hear this, we're like, okay, we need to speak the truth, or we need to control our anger. We, you know, I got this. But then when you get in the real world, quote unquote, real world, on a Monday or Tuesday of the week, and you're surrounded by people that have hurt you before, or people that are different from you or disagree with you, then all of a sudden, at least in my experience, then it starts to get a whole nother ball game here. So I want to just, even without getting into each individual of these 5 points, I know they kind of tie together, but how do we do this around people when there has been hurt, when maybe there has been wounds that this person has caused us? How can we continue to be anchored in our purity when it comes to relating to people that are hard to love?
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with our self-awareness. How self-aware are we of the ways that certain people, conversations make us feel? And if we are not self-aware, then what we're going to do is we're going to point the finger and we're going to ignore the opportunity that God's given to us through this hard conversation, circumstance, to be refined, to be purified. And so starting with me, not starting with you, it's staying quiet, which again, you mentioned that was your first point. We got to speak the truth. Don't lie. But be slow to speak.
That's right. That's exactly.
I'm quick to speak. So for me, it's a constant reminder of, quieting my heart first, and then allowing that to quiet my words. And so take a moment to reflect and recognize what's going on internally before I react.
No, that's exactly right. That's kind of where my brain went to, Jose, is that passage in James. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I think when we don't think about what's coming out of our mouths or the situations that we're in or anything like that, we sometimes react out of our just fleshly, earthly desires. I think of, so I love sports growing up, played tons of sports. I think of myself in college. So I started following Jesus at a really young age. I was 7 and grew up in the church and had a good relationship with the Lord. And then when I came to college my freshman year, I had a lot of like bitterness. I had stuff stored in me just from my story growing up. And that would come out a lot at the Texas State Rec Center, where I was playing basketball, doing these things, competing. And that is really through sports as God started highlighting that in me of like, man, there's something going on inside of me. And if I don't start dealing with it, if I don't start processing it, like this is what the life trajectory could start to look like. And so to your point, or Taylor, to the question that you ask, I think we have to recognize that stuff when it's coming up in ourselves, and then figure out, all right, Lord, I need to lay this down at your feet, and I need your help to help me get through this.
What about the value of community for that very thing? Because there's things that I think if you're listening, you're like, okay, God, you know, praying that search me, oh God, search my heart, and just revealing that. But there's also blind spots sometimes. There's also things that, like, that may have been in other areas than just the, you know, basketball court, but you didn't see it or didn't notice it. So what value does community play, trusted friends, counselors play in this whole process of purification?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, God tells us that we're not to do this life alone. And so I've had so many different people in my life, looking at you two right here, who have been able to see things in me that I didn't realize were there, or God was trying to highlight things to me. And I think of that time in college where I was surrounded by other believers that were, and what's funny is the guy that was discipling me, we would meet at the Texas State Rec Center. We would read our Bible.
Yeah.
His name was John Deachin. We would read our Bible, and then I'd go down and play. And those first couple times, it was a lot more conviction, but literally as the semester would go on, I felt like, okay, man, this is really, really helping. Like, having scripture in my mind as I'm going out to play was super cool. So
yeah, now Joel, you and I have wives. And
right.
So that is a great way to gauge how you're doing is when they say, hey, something's wrong. And when I react and say, no, nothing's wrong. Well, that's even more proof that there's something going on. And I think that there is a tie here between controlling your anger and speaking the truth. Because when we don't live in the truth, anger is a secondary emotion. We know that. We're not just angry because we want to be angry. There's something that's causing us to respond that way. So I think it is a symptom. When we have anger, it's an opportunity to go within ourselves and say, well, what's causing this? What's disappointing? What's frustrating? What are we dealing with that's causing us to respond in this anger? And for that, to your point, Taylor, we need other people to point out and simply say, hey, you seem angry. Everything okay? And then Joel, again, to the verse and the point that you made on Sunday, don't let the sun go down. Doesn't mean solve it before sunset, but it does mean solve it quickly. Mm-hmm. Don't let it fester, because if it festers, you're going to want to take from other people, which is the next thing. And then you're going to want to tear other people up. And then you're going to be a resentful, envious,
that's right,
you know, son of a gun that's going to be hard to be around. And so Paul is saying, be careful,
yeah,
watch out, be self-aware, then allow other people to speak in. Mm-hmm.
That's so good. I'd love to just get some perspective from y'all's just experience here when it comes to maybe times where you are really trying hard at this, and maybe you take some good steps forward, and then there's like a setback. Maybe there's a conversation that as much as you were trying to work on this, then all of a sudden you blow it and you miss it. I think of what, you know, in Romans 7:19, where it says, for I don't do the good that I want to do, and I don't do what I do, you know, just that wrestling of, I was trying so hard at this, and then I still messed up and I still slipped up. And there can be just a sense of defeat in those moments. And so I just love to hear y'all's thoughts on, how has God ministered to y'all in those moments? How do you guard against spiraling into guilt and shame and just giving up? And how do you kind of move forward when sometimes there's steps back?
Yeah, I think he does that through other people for me, because I tend to be someone that's really, really hard on myself. And so I'm a people pleaser by nature, and so I don't want to let others down. So when I do mess up, I can beat myself up about it. And so what's cool is you can come back to that last point. Just as in Christ, God forgave you.
Same thing.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, none of us are going to be perfect. We're not going to do this list right day in and day out and all of these things. But we have to rest in the truth of the gospel that God washes us clean. He gives us grace, and then that allows us to extend grace to other people and receive it ourselves.
Yeah, that order is really cool, because in verse 32, the last one is forgiving others, but before then is compassion. So again, mm-hmm. recognizing that there are things underneath that are causing this unhealthy reaction in yourself or in others. And I think about Jesus, and he saw a lost people. He had healed a bunch of people in Matthew chapter 9. 9. I mean, Matthew chapter 9 is a beautiful chapter that displays the power of God through his son. And yet it says at the end, he saw the people and they were helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved to compassion. Mm-hmm. And so are we moved to compassion or are we moved towards judgment? For ourselves and then for others. And then before, it just says kind, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. So I think it's both, Taylor, this opportunity to forgive others, to be compassionate towards others and be kind to others. And you also need to do that for yourself. You need to be kind to yourself.
That's right.
You need to have compassion for yourself and forgive yourself, you know, because Christ has forgiven you. So let yourself off the hook. If we don't do that, if I don't do that, I tend to wallow. Mm-hmm. I tend to disqualify myself. And thankfully, the truth that we have in Christ allows us to get back on our feet and go at it again.
That's so good. That's so good. There's so much of this that personally applies to us, then in our relationships, those close to us, and just the way we live this out. I know we have a separate special edition of the Parenthood podcast, and we had the Parenthood series that night, but I would love to talk about the home and the value of modeling these, particularly these five traits in the home, because not everyone listening is a parent, but y'all two are, and would just love, I know Sean and Christina gave some tie-ins just during Parenthood. They were like, hey, as Joel spoke about this, because a lot of it does apply. How have you seen this, you know, modeled? And even just as you're talking about applying this in your relationships, what does it look like to apply this to your kids?
Yeah, there's no question that this is hardest at home. This is hardest with the people that you're closest to. So Taylor, even if you don't have a spouse or kids, I mean, it's your closest relationships. I mean, I can just tell you in our relationship, you see the ugly side of me sometimes because we work close to one another. We are close in relationship. And so it's true. In your home, when right. you have a spouse, they will see that ugly side. And so pay attention to that. I think our culture says that when we get home, that's me time. It's really not. You need to make sure, and this is what Sean and Christina hit on Sunday. You need to make sure that your needs are first met by God.
That's right.
Then your needs are met by your spouse. And then your needs needs are met by God so that you can meet the needs and have your needs met by your spouse. That comes second. And then third in parenting. So it really is, it's way more complicated. Here's where I'm going to land. My kids see the worst because they do have that third. And so for me, when I react instead of respond, that's an immediate, you know, click symptom that I have an issue that I need to take care of. Otherwise, I'm not going to parent my child in the way that God's calling me to.
No, I think that's exactly right. In my conversations that I had with several people this last week, one of the things that kept coming up was, man, these last 2 weeks in my home has been a refining, sanctifying process. And Jose, you have older kids. Hadley's about not even two yet. And
the terrific twos.
Exactly, the terrific twos. And so I think it's something that Mallory and I both have to actively fight against, of like this idea of what you talked about, that the culture says we can come home, we can get a break, all this stuff. And that's when our family deserves our best as well. And I think that's something that God's teaching me, and he's showing me, and he's highlighting when I fall short of that. And so, yeah, a lot of good stuff from the parenting series for sure.
A lot of great tie-ins, and the series isn't over. So Jose, would love to give you a preview. We've looked at posture, position, people, purpose, personal responsibility, purity.
Yeah, I gotta
pee. Already know the
I
next
gotta
one.
Pee. I gotta pee, but I'm gonna hold it because I may change it from here on Sunday.
Tease.
Yeah, but it speaks to imitating
power.
Imitating
presence.
God now. No, it's not either of those.
Source.
Yeah, those are powers later. That one's already taken. No, we're going to, again, continue to talk about how to imitate the Lord and how to be more like him in all of our relationships and the ways that we act, because when we do that, we have an opportunity to be like him.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. see you back for the next conversation.